Chapter 1. Abby. The Last. Icy cement bites into her bare feet, and her breath comes out in wheezing gasps as the last daughter runs along the sidewalk. The young girl's tears freeze in the cold, and her robe flaps open as she flies in terror towards the corner of their block. She feels naked, wearing only a wet bathing suit under her robe as she desperately tries to save her mother's life. Never has half a block felt so long. It is a marathon of hope and gripping fear. Abby already knows she will not make it in time. Instead, she flails, falling and sitting upright in her tangled bed. Her breaths are ragged, and she viciously fights the arms reaching for her.
"Abby, Abby, honey, you are safe."
Her father's warm voice pours over her whimpering sobs as she collapses at last into his arms. Her thick, honey-brown hair wraps around them like a protective mantle. He rocks her, holding her tight and kissing the top of her head as she calms down over several minutes. They are both familiar with this routine. Abby has had the same dream almost every night since her mother was murdered 2 weeks ago. In every version of the dream, she tries to save her mother. Abby is bright and old enough to know she cannot change what has already happened. Her subconscious, however, is ever hopeful. This time, after the nightmare, there are no murmured reassurances and no quiet conversation. Exhausted from stress and guilt, Abby falls back to sleep in her father's arms. He sits awkwardly beside her for 3 more hours, not wanting to wake her. When his work alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, he eases his daughter back onto her mattress without waking her. Sometimes, Abby wakes up in her own bed, sometimes in her sister's. Her sister gets grumpy about it, but Abby needs her now. Some nights, she sneaks into bed with Sylvia and back out again without her sister ever even waking up. She doesn't sleep in her father's bed because that would be weird. It felt okay to cuddle with her mom, and it was okay with both parents there, but not just her dad. She isn't sure why it feels weird, but it does, and that is that. No one makes her go to school. She hasn't even been to dance practice since it happened. She never missed that many days before. She spends her days watching YouTube videos on her phone or staring out the window. She has completed most of the homework, so she isn't behind. Maybe Dad will let them get a pet now since they are all so sad. He has thwarted every Messer family pet proposal she and her sister have launched thus far. The girls didn't agree on much, but they both wanted some kind of pet. Their dad is quiet and sad. Of course, his wife was murdered, and the murder is still unsolved, so he should be a wreck. Abby knows he tries to be brave for them, but he mostly sits in the living room with them all on their own screens. He went to work to do stuff, but he hasn't been teaching since it happened. Everyone uses quiet voices and offers food. Too much food arrives all the time. People from Christ Lutheran Church bring chicken noodle casseroles, chocolate chip cookies, and cream pies. Someone ambitious brought salad fixings along with a meal. Abby watched her sister trash the soupy, spoiled remains just yesterday. The two church pastors were friends with her mom, and her parents paid monthly to be members. The man and the lady pastor came by to check on the three of them as the remaining family members. Someone brought pizzas once. That was awesome. There is often too much food for people who are this kind of sad, so the leftovers last a long time. One day, Abby only ate pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was almost fun, if fun could still exist. Eating anything, anywhere in the house, without someone scolding about plates or napkins or having screens, should be freeing. Instead, it made her miss her mother even more.